number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Rich Herrera in for Tony D. What a day we've had. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us with you till 6 a.m. Again, Tony's off this week. My name is Rich Herrera. You can find me on Twitter, RBIRich. Of course, Adam Sager, our producer and co-host. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Are you having a better day than, let's say, the Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yes, I'm having a much better day than them.
Eliminated Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Now we know it'll be the San Jose Sharks and the Pittsburgh Penguins after a, I don't want to say a lackluster Game 7, but the Lightning really couldn't get any shots on goal. The Penguins kind of had a lead and were able to hold on to it and milk it as long as they could. And when it was all said and done, the Lightning are eliminated 2-1 tonight in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. We'll talk a little hockey later in the program with you. All eyes, though, upon the Golden State Warriors at the Oracle Arena. Tonight, they were facing elimination for one of the very few times in this run of Steph Curry and the Splash Brothers. And did they respond tonight against Oklahoma City? We'll talk a lot about that on the program. And I want to get your comments across America, 1-800-777-2907. There are points at the game where Oklahoma City said, I am not going to let Steph Curry beat me. I'm just not. I'm going to stick two guys on him. I'm going to stick three guys on him. I'll have four guys on him at once. But he responds in that second quarter and opens up a lead against OKC. And the Warriors will advance to play another day. They'll go back for Game 6 against Oklahoma City. But my gosh, when you're Steph Curry and they circle your name and they say, we are not going to let number 30 beat us, and I will do everything I can to throw everybody and their brother at him. Did he have an amazing game tonight? And here's the great part about all of this. The Golden State Warriors won. In Oklahoma City, it wasn't if they played a bad game. You saw two teams going at each other, playing great basketball. And this time it was just the Warriors a little bit better with some key contributors off the bench getting it done for the Golden State Warriors to advance and play another day against Oklahoma City as they try to defend their NBA title. We'll talk a lot about that on the program tonight. We have been talking about it for the last couple of days. I'm kind of bummed out, Adam, because I was just barely starting to get a little temperature, get a little fever, get a little excited, get a little over the top. I was going to start setting alerts and get ready to see whether Jackie Bradley Jr. could continue his hitting streak, and it comes to an end tonight, man. I was going to get all, it was just starting to percolate where people were going to start talking about Jackie Bradley Jr. and the hitting streak that he had going, and it ends tonight for the Boston Red Sox, and it was so close to starting to get everybody's attention. You were just starting to hear whispers about it, and that really shows you how remarkable Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak is that I don't think will ever be beat, Adam.
I found it interesting that he stopped the streak right as he gets moved to the top of the order.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to talk about that to John Farrell and why. Hey, what's the old saying? If it's not broke, don't fix it?
Correct.
So he gets moved to the top of the order. No bueno for him. And, we'll get into that for you on the program tonight as well. So I've got a lot of stuff that I'm going to throw out at you. But most importantly, I want to get some telephone calls in this Friday, Adam. I want to kick the calls. I want to get them going. 1-800-777-2907. Because I got a bunch of weird stories. I got a story about a football player who bit the ear of a teammate off. I've got bad karma coming back to bite a team in the league. Not really looking into the best interest of the fans. Also, at a Baylor, their head coach is gone, and the president is going to be moved out of his president's office. And if you're Baylor, after all that work of trying to regain your status as a football powerhouse, it all comes tumbling down because of player behavior and just not doing the right thing. So we'll talk a lot about Baylor on the program tonight. And let's see, what else do I want to get into this. This is something that I'm I really want to get Adam's thoughts on and everybody else's in America. Adam, did you watch, and I know you did, you probably DVR'd it, the Spelling Bee, the National Spelling Bee? Did you watch any of it?
I watched the very end, so like the last two rounds when they won, and I just happened to turn it on.
You mean
at that time?
You didn't like have a watch party for it and invite people to come over?
No.
Get the kids around. Hey, come on, let's watch the Spelling Bee.
No, I've never really watched it in my life, and I just happened to turn it on and watch them tie or whatever they did there at the end, co-champions.
This is one of the reasons why the apocalypse is upon us. You had Spelling Bee dorks talking trash, dabbing, and carrying on during a Spelling Bee. Did you see that? The kid going up with the hands crossed, the one kid dabbing after you. Listen, you're Spelling Bee dorks. You're lucky that there's not anybody in there that's going to take all your lunches, and you guys are acting like that. That's why it's so funny. You hear this all the time. The kids, you know, when you act like that, you're not a role model for the kids. And sometimes I underestimate how much one little thing will lead to another. And for all the Steph Curry bashers that get mad at him when he makes a three and he does a little shimmy, or Cam Newton with the dab and the Superman, or all the other guys showing off, I always wonder, well, you know what? Maybe we're making too much of this. Maybe guys like me that are old and don't know anything are making too much of guys just having fun. And you know what? It's not the end of the world. You're not a role model. The kids aren't going to follow you. And we hear that all the time. Well, look at the kids. I watched this today. I'm like, really? It's gotten to that point where these kids that have no athletic ability are now copying athletes on the field, dabbing and giving signs as if they just scored a touchdown because they know how to spell a word that has 28 consonants and two vowels. I watched that today, Adam, and I was like, man, number one, I wish I could go in there and take all of their lunch money because I would be able to clean up in there looking at those kids. And number two, I guess there really is something to when pro athletes act boorishly, the kids will follow, and the kids will follow them as role models, Adam.
Yes, definitely, 100%. We see it all over the place now.
But
I grew up watching, you know, Jordan and the football players of the 90s. We didn't see any of this, and I never, you know, I never experienced, you
honestly,
know, there was a little trash talk.
Honestly, did you ever stick your tongue out?
No,
come
I wasn't.
You grew up in Chicago. Did you ever stick your tongue out?
I wasn't a tongue guy. One of my buddies was a bat. Like, he did it a lot, all the time.
And stuck his tongue out?
Yeah, like, because, I mean, he was a big Jordan guy, too. So, but no, I never was. I don't know. I found it weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I was always afraid that somebody would hit me in the jaw and I'd bite my tongue off.
But, I mean, now you go to a high school basketball game, and if you go to a good basketball game, a kid dunks, he starts flexing like Draymond Green, or, you know, they're doing all kinds of stuff like that. Now, when I played high school basketball, we didn't have any of that. It was, if a kid dunked, he went to the other end. He might, you know, give a high five, but that was kind of the max of the celebration.
And now, if you're going to get ready to watch the College World Series, I was watching the ACC baseball tournament, University of Miami playing.
Yeah.
Big walk-off home run.
Yep.
Big bat flip. We talked about that stupid kid the other day that did the bat flip and the running man at the
mm-hmm.
same time. And if I was his coach, I would have yanked his rear end off the field. Or if I was playing against him, I would have stuck one in his ear hole to respect the game. And I was just wondering, because of the Jose Bautista thing, and it was like, oh, no big deal, stop it, don't make too much of it. If you let it slide and you say it's okay, others will pick up on it, and before you know it, you'll get bat flips galore, and you saw one of the most egregious bat flips this week with the University of Miami in their walk-off home run against North Carolina State in the second round of the ACC baseball tournament. And then I'm watching kids that have inhalers and don't take PE, but instead sit there and spell, talking trash.
Yes.
Talking trash. And how bad do you have to be that you take trash from another spelling bee kid? You know what I mean? Are you going to take trash from a kid who knows how to spell an 18-syllable word?
I still don't get people that say kids don't act like what they see. That's why what these athletes do don't matter. It's crazy.
All right, you guys have a comment. 1-800-777-2907. 1-800-777-2907. Rich Rarin for Tony D. It's nighttime here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Rich Rare sitting in for Tony D this week. Be back with you on Monday. Then he's back to work after Memorial Day. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Number for you to join us across the country, 1-800-777-2907. 1-800-777-2907, the toll-free number for you to join us. We'll get into the Warriors staving off elimination to send the Western Conference Finals back to OKC this weekend. Steph Curry was amazing. But I was still kind of chuckling over the whole thing of the National Spelling Bee, which I think it's ridiculous it's on television and on ESPN. At least put it on like an educational channel or something. But hey, listen, they've got time to fill during the day. They put it on there. And the kids they had before that would scream out the letters before, I thought were ridiculous. They sounded like tennis players grunting. C A T Cat. Yes. But what I saw today even had me shaking my head and wishing that I was there to slap some kids around, because they certainly needed it. As the one kid threw out the Dez Bryant X as he spells word. By the way, if I'm gonna adopt anybody's trash talking skills, I don't think I'm gonna use Dez Bryant. Maybe it's just me. Another kid was dabbing. I was just like, seriously, you kids are spelling and you're standing up there trash talking. Ooh. He forgot I after E except after C or whatever it is. Ooh, he forgot that a U comes always after a Q. Ha ha, what a dummy. I saw that today and I'm like, man, you know what? I'm going to have to rethink this whole thing of sometimes I think we use the kids as an excuse to tell players don't act like horses, you know what? But maybe it really is true. Let's take some telephone calls. 1-800-777-2907, 1-800-777-2907. Let's go to Xavier, Austin, Texas. Welcome. You're on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Hey, man, I understand completely what you're saying, man, about the kids over celebrating. But I think you might be going just a tad bit too far, man. They calling them dorks and things, man, that's kind of a little too far. These kids put in the same, not the same work, but the mental work. They strain themselves trying to spell these words, man. Just kind of cut back on them a little bit, man. Give them some slack. You got to think about it.
Are you a spelling champion?
No, man. Not at all, man.
I can't spell. I can't spell to save my life. But I mean, listen.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay.
Yeah, let me say. Go ahead, quick, man. This is their big moment, man. You got to understand. This is televised on ESPN. Yeah, man. You got to make your mark, man. You got to get up there. You spell your words. And you got to understand, man, they're under immense pressure on that stage, man. You got the big lights on you. And if it was me, man, I'd get up there, I'll spell it right, I'll hit a backflip, man. I'll be so excited just to do it. Man, I'm telling you, man. But great show, man. And keep it
what's
up,
the,
man.
What's
and,
the, hey, wait a minute. What's the one word you can't spell?
Dictionary.
I can't spell tomorrow. For whatever reason, I never spell the word tomorrow correctly.
Maybe it's too many O's and R's, man. I'm with you.
Okay,
way,
but let
man.
Me ask you this, Great. Though. But let me ask you this, though, before I let you go. If you're standing there and this other kid's trash-talking you, what are you going to do? You going to stand there and take it?
Me as the person I am today, or another spelling whiz?
Another spelling whiz calls you out like that. What are you going to do? You going to take it from him? You going to stand there and let him show you up like that?
Oh, no, man, we're going to have a spell down right then and there, man. We're going to have to do something.
We're going to go out in the alley and we're going to spell off, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I won't be embarrassed. If I was a kid and I was on ESPN, man, I have to tell you. Man, I'm trying to spell every word I can, every chance I get. It's kind of like Akilah and the Bee, man. You seen how she studied, and she got there, man, and she did what she had to do against the little Chinese kid. It's sort of like that, man. You got to disrespect them a little bit, man. Disrespect them. Disrespect the grind and the hustle, man.
You know what? I will give them that. Thank you very much for the call. The grind and the hustle of that. But here's the thing. This is why I guess it really is true that these kids will follow what they see from the adults, and that the athletes really are their role models, which is unfortunate because most athletes don't understand that kids will follow along in their footsteps. So when you see these two, they don't know what they're doing. They're just seeing that somebody else did it, and they think it's cool, and they want to be cool. That's the thing that I guess bothers me the most, Adam. Is it's not like I have maybe they do have the adrenaline pumping and maybe it is getting of a grind for them, but it's not physical. It's a mental thing. And when I show somebody up like that, that really is showing somebody up, sticking it in their face, embarrassing them. And that's the whole thing I don't like about the bat flips and all the rest of the stuff that gets carried on, because I'm shoving your nose in it when I do something like that. The kid, when he's standing there, she's going, no, 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 you're not going to spell it. And the other kid's standing there, and he's like fist pumping and kind of getting in the kid's chili a little bit. Yeah, I'm absolutely having my glory. It's your failure and rubbing your nose in it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the fact is, you know, it was cool to watch the kids celebrate when they won, and that's the time to celebrate, after you win something.
Yeah.
Don't do it when you get a word right. That's like Draymond Green. Every basket he makes, he flexes and screams and gets in the guy's face. No, do it when you hit a game winner, or do it when you win the championship, or advance to the next round. Do it then, not every time you do what you're supposed to do.
My old radio partner, my first radio partner, was Bob Golic, played for the Browns and the Raiders. And he pointed out to me, you want to know who a good teammate is? A good teammate is one that runs to the rest of his teammates to celebrate. A bad teammate is the one that runs away from everybody else so he can have the camera time on all to himself.
Yeah, that's a good
definition.
Point. Yeah.
That's the definition of a good teammate versus a bad teammate. Good teammate, we all celebrate together. Bad teammate, I'm going to go and you look at me and to heck with everybody else because it's all about me. But I will agree with our caller. X did set me right, and I am one host that's not afraid to let callers come and disagree with me and tell me when I'm wrong, and I will listen to what you have to say and agree with you sometimes. Yeah, I guess these kids are hustling. These kids did practice. These kids are smarter than me, so maybe I am hating on them, which is really kind of weird because I don't think anybody's hated on a spelling bee champion ever in the history of sports radio. We might have made history tonight here on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, coming up, we'll talk some NBA with you. Josh Martin from Bleacher Report, he's their NBA writer. He's going to join us. Man, what a game tonight for the Golden State Warriors and for Steph Curry. Watching him single-handedly at the end. There was a point where the Warriors had a lead and it disappeared immediately in 4 points. Four free throws made one of the biggest difference to make this a tight game. And then Steph Curry put the team on his shoulder and said, that will not happen. I will not allow that to happen. And he made sure that the Golden State Warriors are not going home. They're not packing up. They're not cleaning out their lockers. They live to see another day. I don't care if you're an Oklahoma City fan. Well, if you're an Oklahoma City fan, you don't want to see a 7. If you're a Warriors fan, you want to see a 7. If you're a basketball fan, oh, you really want to see a Game 7. We're going to talk with Josh Martin from Bleacher Report. He joins us next to talk about the NBA playoffs here on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
We roll on here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Rich in for Tony D. And what a game we saw as the Oklahoma City Thunder were trying to close out the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry would have none of that, yelling, we're not going home yet.
Let's talk about it with Josh Martin from Bleacher Report, with NBA writers joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Rich?
I'm doing great. Not as good as the Warriors after this victory. Give me your thoughts on the Warriors getting it done at home, saving off elimination.
They looked like the Warriors after two games of looking anything like anything but themselves. They played with poise. They played with confidence. Steph Curry was hitting shots. Klay Thompson was hitting shots. It wasn't a blow-away sort of a situation for the Warriors where they looked like world beaters, but they were certainly good enough to beat a very good Oklahoma City team. They played a really steady game, and it worked for them in this case.
You know, a lot of times you'll look for big-time players to make big-time plays, but for me, watching the game, I want to get your thoughts. There are a lot of undercurrents that happened to get this game going the way it did. Maybe it was Steven Adams getting into foul trouble early. Maybe it was Andrew Bogut, the big man for the Warriors. What was that X factor that you picked up in this game?
I mean, Bogut, I think, was a big part of just a general effort by the Warriors to not be just a jump-shooting team, to play inside out. That's when Golden State is at its best. We can get the ball inside and then work its way out from there. You saw Bogut really being effective in the first half in particular with his physicality inside, getting some buckets off lobs and offensive rebounds, holding his own on the boards in general. I thought he did a wonderful job, and that was going to be a big factor for Golden State because he had not played well in this series. The Warriors' bigs in general had not played well, but they got good efforts out of Festus Ezeli. They got good efforts out of Maurice Spates, to be sure, and they won the rebounding battle and the points in the paint battle pretty handily tonight.
Well, you talk about Festus and Maurice Spates. I mean, come on. Those guys never make any comments after the ball game, but really they were one of the linchpins for the Warriors, especially second and third quarter.
Oh, absolutely. They were huge for that team. They needed – the Warriors really needed to counteract that size inside for Oklahoma City at some point. You knew it was going to happen, that those guys would have to step up if the Warriors were going to stick around on this thing. You know, going up against guys like Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka and Enes Kanter and even Kevin Durant at 7 feet tall, you have to impose something of a physical will at some point if you're the Warriors, because they're, as much as we talk about them being a finesse team, They are a team that can play physical, can play with a lot of attitude, and they really brought that tonight.
Hey, Josh, I did want to bring up one thing with you. Josh Martin joining us right now from Bleacher Report. And being a wordsmith, you'll appreciate the best of times, the worst of times. And that's really what I'm watching with Draymond Green right now. There are points in the game where he was just getting above the rim, blocking everything. I think he had four blocks in the night. But then there were points where he was just committing silly fouls, had given Oklahoma City 4 points. He's got another technical, one away from getting suspended. I mean, talk about living life on an edge. Give me your thoughts.
I guess that's how Draymond Green prefers to live, on the edge. He's certainly not afraid to bring it when it comes to the trash talk. He likes to instigate. He's that type of guy, for better or for worse, if you're talking about the Golden State Warriors. You would think he's got to keep himself in check a little bit and try to make sure he doesn't get in a ref's face or get in the opponent's face and really play a calm, conservative game. But that's not Draymond. And I think if you tell Draymond not to be Draymond, then you're not going to get a Draymond effort out of Draymond Green.
Did he look like Draymond tonight? Because I think after that kick to Steven Adams in the next game, he kind of lost some of that emotion and it really took him out of his game.
He looked a lot more like Draymond. He made much better decisions tonight, aside from a few of the silly fouls. I think offensively, he did a much better job of getting the ball where it needed to be and not getting it picked off by all of those long arms of the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was really a huge problem for the Warriors in games 3 and 4 in particular. Whenever Draymond would try to pass it inside to whoever it was, whether it was a bounce pass to Klay on a cut or out to Steph Curry or to one of the Warriors' bigs, there always seemed to be an arm there that Draymond was worried about, either picking off the ball or winding up throwing the ball out of bounds. He did a much better job controlling that, and that helped the Warriors not only maintain possession but make something out of those possessions that they had.
Yeah, I was listening to Tom Tolbert and Tim Roy on the Warriors broadcast. They were talking about the Warriors were able to get that extra pass. They were able to drive, kick it back out, which opened up a bunch of lanes, which I think helped the Warriors. Let's jump over to the OKC side, because Kevin Durant, Westbrook. I mean, again, these guys are just trying to single-handedly will themselves to the NBA Finals. Give me your thoughts on them.
Those guys are still tremendous players. You see Kevin Durant going for 40, Westbrook having a really nice game. The difference, of course, is that when you're at home and you're the Thunder, you can count a little bit more on guys like Andre Roberson and Deion Waiters and some other role players to come up big for you because you have that energy. And, you know, role players tend to feed off the energy at home. When you're on the road, you have to lean more heavily on guys like Durant and Westbrook. Those are your superstars. Those are the guys that you count on to come up big for you every single night. They did whatever they could tonight. They just didn't quite have enough to close out this series for OKC.
You know, that's interesting. I've never heard anybody put it that way, that it really is the sixth man that picks up those guys coming off the bench, those guys in the rotation to help give you that advantage. The one guy that I thought single-handedly took advantage of everything was Steph Curry. And everybody's been talking about the MVP. Did you notice the way I did? I mean, there were times where it looked like there was Steph Curry and at least three, if not four, defenders around him, and he was still able to drill a lot of trouble.
And that's what Steph Curry does at his best, is he makes magic out of dire situations. There's no more dire situation if you're the Warriors than being on the brink of elimination. And Steph Curry really came up in a big way on individual plays in this game as a whole. And that's what you need if you're the Warriors. If you're going to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, you need Steph Curry to be the best player on the floor. Because if he's not, then you're looking at an OKC team that, with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, has the top two guys on any given night.
We're talking right now with Josh Martin, Bleacher Report, bleacherreport.com. All right, give me your thoughts as they get ready to head back to Oklahoma City. What do you think you're going to see?
You're going to see two desperate teams. You're going to see a Warriors team that is on the brink of elimination still. You're going to see a Thunder team that probably understands that if this series goes to Game 7 and that's on the Warriors' home floor, then Golden State's going to have the upper hand. I would tend to think that when Golden State has its back against the wall, that you get the best out of the Warriors, then the Warriors, I think, will do enough to win on the road, though I expect and certainly hope that we get a close game either way.
I just want a Game 7. There's nothing better than a Game 7 in sports, so I'll be greedy. Hey, what are you working on? What are you going to be posting next?
Well, I'm off for the next few days for Memorial Day weekend, but I'll be keeping close tabs on the NBA playoffs here, certainly. And I've got something in the works about the NBA pre-draft process and what guys go through on that front, so keep an eye out for that.
Interesting, because we see what the National Football League does. Then I started to notice this year, the NBA is trying to get more interest in the combines, in the workouts, and maybe trying to take a page from the NFL's playbook.
It seems like it. I think part of that was what you saw with the difference where they could allow players to declare for the NBA draft without going full bore, allowing guys to test the waters. That put more prospects in the pool. Might have generated some more interest. It's hard to tell, but the NBA draft is always an event, but there's just not enough lead time compared to the NFL draft, which happens, what, 2 months, 2.5 months after the NFL season ends, whereas with the NBA, the draft comes around about a week after the finals, so it's hard to really do that same sort of buildup when you don't really give yourself that much time between the finals and the actual thing.
And then I go searching, and we only got about 30 seconds, I go searching for the Summer League, because I think actually the Summer League is must-see TV once you see these guys that got drafted.
It can certainly be fun. It's not always the best quality of basketball, but it's your first chance to see what some of these guys look like. They're very raw. They're in a very loose environment, but it can still be a lot of fun. And if you go out there to watch it in Vegas yourself, then you can have a little fun out in Sin City as well.
Well, that's why I like it, because it's like two guys standing on top of a cardboard box shooting it, so it actually feels like you're sitting courtside because the production makes it seem like you're so close. Hey, Josh, I appreciate you taking time joining us. Thank you so much. Catch up with you soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Rich. Take care.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
There I was completely
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Rich Rare in for Tony D. It's nighttime here on Yahoo Sports Radio. With you to the wee hours of the morning, 6 a.m. Eastern. I am kind of bummed out. I was pulling for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I live in Florida. And I've got a man crush on John Cooper because I think he's one of the best coaches in the NHL. But they get turned away. The Pittsburgh Penguins win 2-1 over the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They'll take on the San Jose Sharks. So for the Penguins, Brian Rust scored two goals and was really the difference maker. Matt Murray, back in goal, allowed only one goal and finished with just 16 saves. 16. The Lightning just didn't get anything going offensively in the game. Couldn't put anything towards the net. Didn't get a lot of shots on goal. It's pretty amazing that if you think about the guys that started the season for the Pittsburgh Penguins, so many of them weren't even on the roster when they first started, but they helped to lead them to the Stanley Cup Finals. The Lightning went all in. Even Steven Stamkos tried to jump back in to help. It was his first game since March 31st because of a blood clot. Didn't have many minutes, but at least it gave the best shot that they could. Vasilevskiy, their goalie, was solid. 37 saves. How about that? 37 shots on goal. 37 shots, saves, I should say. That means 39 shots on goal versus what the Lightning were able to do. It just wasn't big offensively. But I think I figured out what happened. Adam Sager, our producer and co-host, did you see what happened before the game?
No, I did not.
That the National Hockey League banned and threatened the Tampa Bay Lightning if they had a watch party. Did you see the story?
No.
So the Tampa Bay Lightning, in between, they have a big parking deck next to the Amalie Arena, and in between they have this kind of courtyard where they'll hold watch parties, and during the games they put the game up on the side of the parking deck on a projection TV, and they'll bring food trucks out before the game, and they'll have bands out there before the game, and they'll have blow-up houses for kids to jump in. So it's like a festival before the game, trying to maybe replicate what you do at Fenway Park before you go to the game when you go on Yawkey Way. So they have this big festival, and they have a watch party. So they invite everybody to come out and watch the game outside the arena. They bring the food trucks out, and they say, bring your own lawn chair. So it's this big outdoor party. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to believe me as I tell you this, Adam. You know how all the teams now have watch parties when the team's on the road?
Right.
You know who started that?
No.
You want to take a guess? Because I'm going to tell you the story, and you're not going to believe it.
Oh, I couldn't even. So many teams just ran through my head. I have no idea.
No. The person that started it.
Oh, the person? Oh, I have no idea.
You sure?
Yeah.
You're talking to him.
Really?
I started the first watch parties in professional sports.
Where was that?
Tampa Bay with the Rays. When I was the Rays postgame show host. Normally when the team goes on the road, you know, you just kind of, you go back to the studios and that's it. I had the crazy idea because I had been a talk show host for so long, and this was in 2006. I said, hey, when the team's on the road, we should go do a watch party. We'll get the fans in. I'll go do the pregame show or the postgame show and invite the fans to come watch the game with me. And they said, you're crazy. Who's going to want to watch the fat postgame show guy sit there talking into a microphone for a pregame show? No one's going to come out and watch you. So I said, I think we could do this. I would do radio remotes and people would come watch me do the show. I'm sure I could get people to come out if we, you know, we went to a cool place and they come out and they can watch the game with a bunch of other fans. I said, you're nuts. So I tried it out. The very first one I had was at the Seminole Hard Rock Cafe, and like five people showed up. They go, this is the dumbest thing in the world you've ever had an idea for.
Right.
So I said, well, come on, let's try it again. So we started doing it, started doing more, and people started coming out, and I had great giveaways. Like I'd get all the leftover bobbleheads that didn't give given away at the stadium. I'd bring those with me. I'd get the mascot to come along with me. Budweiser ponied up, and they became a sponsor, and we started going to the Hooters restaurants. And finally, there was a beach hotel that said, hey, I'll have you come out. And they brought a big screen TV off the side of a tractor trailer and put it out on the beach. So I did the show from a beach hotel sitting there poolside while people took their lawn chairs and sat in the sand in front of the water and watched the games. So we literally would have like 1,000 people show up to watch the game. So as I started doing this, the folks in Major League Baseball like, hey, we don't dig this because more people leave to go to your watch party. That means they're not going to be home, and I won't get any Nielsen ratings for them if they're sitting there watching with you because you don't get out-of-home credit for fans watching the game. So they kind of like turned their they kind of looked at me like, hey, that's not really cool. You really shouldn't do it. We can't stop you until it comes to the postseason. Then you're not allowed to do that because it's considered a quote-unquote jewel event. And we don't want people doing that because we need the ratings for television. So as I start doing it, the other teams around here start doing it. And then since I left now, it's blown up and it's gone across every sport. All the teams do it now, and you see them during the playoffs. In Toronto, they'll do it in front of this big building. They do it in hockey. So anyway, the NHL told them no watch party tonight. First time they canceled their watch party, Lightning couldn't get any offense going. I'm thinking the hockey gods were not happy with the Lightning for having to cancel their watch party. That's why they only had like 5 shots on goal. But that's just me. All right, coming up, we'll talk some baseball with you. We got a whole bunch of stuff coming up here on Yahoo Sports Radio.